Here we are. We had a comedian. It flopped. Who did we have at the beginning of the show? We had J.D. Bickell. Nobody liked it. We now go to the bottom of the barrel.
You're scraping it, Paul, ain't you?
John Tulsa.
I got the message yesterday. They said they want you on Paul Feinbaum. And I said, you sure it ain't the... You know you're talking to the fat one, right? And they were
We called,
Mike must be busy.
Who did we call? We called John Talty, uh-huh. Andy Staples. We called Ari Wasserman.
Yeah.
And finally, we figured, let's get Bratton on. And Bratton.
He ghosted you.
And, I mean, yeah. Bratton's... When we called Bratton, he didn't answer, and it flipped over, and you answered, and I thought I was talking to Bratton. So we said, hey, are you available today? And you said, any day.
Yeah, I'm doing nothing, Paul. I've been waiting for, 6 months for this call again. So it's good to be on, man. I noticed I'm batting cleanup, so that's always good.
What's going on that SEC podcast, all kidding aside?
All kidding aside, we're just, you know, trying to stay optimistic. You know, we're in the off season and some of the news other than Bill Belichick.
Yeah, have you tackled the Belichick story yet?
We haven't really tackled it, but it is kind of, it's hard not to tackle. Yeah. It's hard not to bring up just about every other day on our show. They love bringing up the Bill Belichick situation, the girlfriend situation. And, you know, it's funny because we bounce around. We went from, you know, Lane Kiffin's girlfriend and Coach O's girlfriend, but it feels like Bill's is really taking the leash here. And I'm kind of surprised because out of all the coaches, if I were to put money on it, Bill Belichick probably would have been the last one I thought would be in this situation. I understand a late life crisis, but I thought that's what Corvettes are for. Maybe we get a pontoon boat. No, he is hook, line, and sinker over there in North Carolina.
Yeah, and maybe it's just that Chapel Hill is a boring place, and
yeah,
a lot of wine and cheese bars. I mean, he may have just decided he needed something else. I don't know. I feel like I know this woman from somewhere in my past.
Yes. you probably have. You probably passed her a few times there in the halls. But I will say one thing about the Bill Belichick situation is, you know, How does this thing, like, is this a one-hit wonder? Is this a 1 year, it hits the fan, we're out of here? I'm more intrigued, not so much to see how it starts, but how it ends. Oh, I think this could be.
By the way, I know that answer.
Oh, please tell me.
It ends so badly that it becomes a much better story.
Oh, yeah.
Because guaranteed, Shane, she will turn on him at some point.
Oh, yeah.
She will come after him. She will dominate Page Six and TMZ. Mm-hmm. And that's when, and here's what I'm concerned about, that she's going to dump Bill Belichick and end up dating Michael Bratton.
Oh, boy. That's a long way down. I don't know about that. But Bill does have a lot of family floating around, so he may just get a younger version of him.
Yeah. So, okay, let's get to SEC football because we do occasionally talk about that. I'm hearing trend lines develop, optimism in Norman.
Yeah.
Concern maybe elsewhere. So take us through the spring storylines that seem to be permeating the air.
Yeah, what we're hearing a lot on our side, obviously, Texas has arrived. They're there. They are now the kings of the SEC. We're hearing a lot from Oklahoma. John Mateer is the second coming, and he is going to take – this team to new heights. And honestly, when you are at rock bottom, let's just call it like it is. When you're using that as a comparison, I have no doubt in my mind Oklahoma's going to look fantastic. And we had a lot of guys on talking Sooner Ball, and I'm kind of buying in. I try not to, Paul. I try to not get too excited, but brother, I think they may have them a little. They may win 7 games this year. So I think that would be big for Oklahoma. Other storylines, I feel like Georgia and Alabama, we've talked about them for years. I don't think they're getting as much respect or as maybe service as they deserve. So that's kind of the storylines I'm noticing. Obviously, the fiasco in Tennessee, that was pretty big as well.
Let's talk about the fiasco in Tennessee because it's over now. Joey Aguilar is your starter.
Yeah.
I don't even know what the question is. What is a Joey Aguilar?
Well, I heard Hopple on there the other day. Somebody asked him about the Nico situation, and he now calls it the Aguilar situation. So we are moved past. That's a name we just do not speak about in this state of Tennessee. So what does it mean? I think Aguilar is one of those guys that brings the ceiling down but raises the floor. Okay. When Nico did leave, I felt like Tennessee, there's no shot that they are even sniffing the college football playoffs. And I'm not saying they would this season, but out of all the SEC teams, they're one of my favorites as far as scheduling. The only concern I really have is that you've got Syracuse and Georgia within the first three football games. So Aguilar's really going to get thrown in the fire here.
And in terms of Tennessee, and I realize everybody's feeling better, but we have the schedule up on the screen, Shane. Mm-hmm. What does it look like to you? Give us a narrow range in terms of are we talking 8, 9, 10? Where are we?
Well, everybody that knows Cousin Shay knows that I am the big orange homer. So I say the ceiling is 10, but I think the floor could be 8.
Okay.
I do think that Tennessee, you know, this wasn't Nico's team. This is Josh Heupel's team. So I fully expect them to again, be one of the most elite running teams in the country. I don't think the defense falls off as much as you know, maybe opponents would like. Tennessee, with that schedule, has no doubt in my mind they will be one of those fringe teams come late November.
Dylan Sampson's gone. Nobody talks about him, but, I mean, he carried the freight a lot last year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, Sampson's great. I think he's going to do great things in the NFL. But, again, we're talking about a system, in my opinion. And the running game, I don't want to belittle what – because he was phenomenal. And at times he was the entire offense. But I do think that Tennessee will be fine with the running game. They got plenty of guys back there. It's probably be more of a committee situation. But I just feel like Tennessee will always have success running the football because of the style Josh Heupel likes to run.
Talking to Cousin Shane, we talked about some of the schools that may exceed expectations. Who are you guys worried about?
Worried about? That's a great one. You know, Mike is really high on the Florida Gators. I'm not so much. One of the concerns I have is the health of DJ Lagway. And again, we've seen videos of him throwing the football and people have told me everything's fine. But, you know, I've also heard, you know, looking for second opinions and I don't like to hear that coming into a football season. Now, Harrison had a heck of a spring and Vol fans know him well. But I do think that if DJ's not 100%, that's my big concern because unlike Tennessee, I think Florida obviously has one of the toughest schedules to navigate. And you flip-flop, that's the crazy part. If you flip-flop Florida and Tennessee schedule, Florida's winning 9 games, 10 games. But because of who they have, I don't know. I think we may be sitting there at 6 or 7, and is that enough to keep Billy, you know, fans at bay?
Another
one's Ole Miss. I'll say this too. An Ole Miss. This is a lot of folks don't like it because Ole Miss fans think they've arrived because of the success Lane Kiffin has. I think with all the lack of returning production on offense and defense, mainly at offensive line, everybody watched that one drive against the Georgia Bulldogs and said they got themselves a quarterback, which is great. I think you know, I don't think Ole Miss falls off completely, but let's not overlook how many kids were drafted from that football team, a football team that really should have been in the playoffs last year. I think we have a little bit of a step back with the Ole Miss Rebels this season.
One more. The president of the United States was in Tuscaloosa Thursday night. Nick Saban was on the stage. No Kalen DeBoer. He even joked about bringing Saban back, and then he – no, Alabama has a coach. We didn't quite hear what the coach's name was. What about this year for DeBoer?
I think this is as you would call, a sleeper. And that's crazy to say about Alabama, but this may be one of the most scary teams that is in the SEC. I feel like the floor is probably higher than most teams, but the ceiling could be undefeated. That's how good this football squad could be. And I really like this defense. I think it may be up there with the best in this country. And, you know, a lot of people uncertain about the quarterback situation, but I don't know. Something about the year two, I feel like this is when Alabama really stretches. A lot of mistakes made last year. It's kind of a clean break from the quarterback situation. So I'm expecting Bama to be right there in the mix. And if you're doubting them or the Georgia Bulldogs, you're crazy.
I like it. Cousin Shane delivering here.
Yeah.
Wasn't our first choice.
Yes.
Second, third, but I appreciate you coming on. I didn't mean to. I mean, we love you here, Cousin Shane. I don't know why you're never on the show, but.
Yeah. I can hear them talking. They're like, how did this guy get on again?
So, by the way, your podcast, how often is that podcast on?
We do 5 days a week. So Sunday through Thursday. And honestly, we've got a lot of interviews, a lot of content coming out where we get to talk about individual teams. So that SEC podcast, please check it out. We just like to have fun, Paul. We're a little bit more laid back, and we just like to shoot the you know what and talk college football.
It is one of my we were together a year ago in Nashville. One of my funniest and most enjoyable hours. And Randy, it wasn't that I was being articulate or compelling, but it was an hour straight live roast of Cousin Shane. It was hilarious.
I thought that hour would never end, Paul. You know?
I asked Dan Brams was there, and he and Michael and I walked out together, and I said, I probably shouldn't have done some of those jokes, should I? I mean, I genuinely felt badly in the aftermath, Cousin Shane. I know I should have called you afterwards and apologized, but I
cried in my pillow that night and, you know, got over it and text Bill Belichick and said, hey, how do I get through this? You know, you got his girlfriend on the phone and I survived. So everything is fine on Rocky Top. And Paul, I can't wait to see you down there at Media Days. Unfortunately, I ain't going to be able to go do the coach talk down there, but Mike is going to be down there tanning
Mike will
it
be
up.
At, he'll be at spring meetings. Is that right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hell or high water, he'll be there, and you can't miss him. I don't think he's going to wear a shirt all week.
Well, he will be a guest on our show the whole time. He'll probably be standing behind us because there's no way the SEC is going to let him any closer. Thank you, Cousin Shane. We appreciate it. We're back up against the break here, coming back with more.